Good morning, and welcome to Simply Space. It's Tuesday, April 30th. On today's show, CU and NASA sign a partnership for space exploration, while Russia vetoes a UNSC resolution to prevent nuclear weapons in space. Plus, the Saudi Space Agency and WEF establish a space C4IR center. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Space. NASA's Johnson Space Center and Clemson University have signed a Space Act agreement that will open up new opportunities for joint research and education to advance space exploration. The agreement was signed by Clemson alumna and Johnson Space Center Director Vanessa Wetsch and Clemson University President Jim Clements. For more on what this partnership entails, we turn to our correspondent at Simply Space. What kind of research collaborations can we expect to see from this agreement?
This agreement lays the groundwork for Clemson faculty and NASA to collaborate on research across a wide range of fields relevant to space exploration. This includes aerospace engineering, space and earth science, advanced materials, computer and data science, advanced manufacturing, and even research into human health in space. The goal is to further innovation in these areas to support NASA's mission of discovery and exploration.
And it sounds like this partnership will also provide unique opportunities for Clemson students to engage with NASA experts.
Absolutely. Clemson students will have the chance to participate in educational outreach activities with NASA, benefit from mentorship programs, and even pursue internship opportunities related to human spaceflight. This direct engagement with NASA's leading experts could be incredibly valuable for students interested in space-related fields.
It's interesting that this agreement was signed by Vanessa Wetsch, a Clemson alumna who now leads Johnson Space Center. What perspective did she share on the partnership?
As the director of Johnson Space Center, Wetsch oversees critical aspects of NASA's human spaceflight activities, from designing and building spacecraft to exploring the Moon, Mars, and beyond. She emphasized how this agreement with Clemson can directly benefit students by providing them with opportunities to contribute to NASA's mission. It's a powerful example of how partnerships between universities and NASA can inspire and prepare the next generation of space explorers and innovators.
And this partnership aligns with the founding missions of both Clemson and NASA, correct?
That's right. Clemson University President Jim Clements noted that Clemson was founded in 1889 as a land-grant university with the purpose of providing transformational education and serving the community. Similarly, NASA was created to benefit humanity through innovation, exploration, and discovery. So this Space Act agreement reflects a shared commitment to advancing knowledge and making a positive impact on society.
It will be exciting to see what new discoveries and innovations emerge from this collaboration between Clemson University and NASA's Johnson Space Center. Thank you for that report. In other space-related news, the United Nations Security Council recently voted on a resolution aimed at preventing the placement of nuclear weapons in space and stopping the development of weapons of mass destruction deployable above Earth. However, the resolution was vetoed by Russia, despite 13 member nations voting in approval. China abstained from the vote. For more on this, we turn to our correspondent. So what was the goal of this resolution, and why did Russia veto it?
The resolution, spearheaded by the U.S. and Japan, sought to reaffirm the shared goal of preventing an arms race in outer space and urged the exploration and use of outer space for peaceful purposes only. It would have affirmed a binding obligation in Article 4 of the 1967 Outer Space Treaty, which prohibits nations from placing objects carrying nuclear weapons or other weapons of mass destruction in orbit around Earth. Russia's veto comes amid concerns following reports in February that Russia is developing a nuclear anti-satellite weapon, despite being one of 115 parties to the Outer Space Treaty.
How did the U.S. respond to Russia's veto of this resolution?
U.S. Ambassador Robert Wood expressed deep disappointment at the result of the vote, but remained undeterred. He stated that the U.S. will continue to engage in good faith negotiations and encourage bilateral arms control discussions with Russia and China, without preconditions. The veto represents a setback to efforts to ensure the peaceful use of outer space and prevent the development and deployment of space-based weapons of mass destruction.
What are the potential consequences of this failed resolution and Russia's reported development of a nuclear anti-satellite weapon?
The veto of this resolution and reports of Russia's nuclear anti-satellite weapon development raise serious concerns about the potential for an arms race in outer space. If nations begin to develop and deploy space-based weapons of mass destruction, it could lead to increased tensions and the risk of conflict extending beyond Earth's atmosphere. The international community will need to continue to work towards establishing clear guidelines and treaties to ensure the peaceful use of outer space and prevent the proliferation of these dangerous weapons.
Is there any further discussion planned on this topic?
Yes, Spacewatch.global will be hosting a Space Cafe Geopolitics event on Thursday, May 2, 2024, titled 33 Minutes with Dr. Jessica West, to discuss the consequences of this vote and the broader implications for space security. Interested viewers can register for the event or watch the live stream to learn more about this critical issue and the ongoing efforts to promote the peaceful use of outer space.
Thank you for that insight and update on this important story. We will continue to follow any developments closely. In other news, the World Economic Forum has signed an agreement with the Saudi Space Agency to establish a Center for the Fourth Industrial Revolution focused on space. The Center for Space Futures aims to facilitate public-private discussions on space collaboration and generate forward-looking contributions to accelerate space technologies. For more on this, we turn to our correspondent. This new center will be the first in the network of Fourth Industrial Revolution centers to focus exclusively on space. What kind of impact could this have on the global space sector?
The potential impact is significant. By bringing together public and private sectors, the Center for Space Futures can help maximize the technological benefits of space exploration and innovation while minimizing risks. This collaboration recognizes the growing importance of space in areas like monitoring climate change, increasing global connectivity, and driving economic growth. The center will work on developing principles, expanding knowledge, refining models, and cultivating key partnerships to responsibly harness the vast opportunities presented by the space domain.
And how does this fit into Saudi Arabia's larger vision and goals?
The new center aligns well with Saudi Vision 2030, which is the country's roadmap for economic diversification, global engagement, and enhancing quality of life for its citizens. Space is seen as a key sector that can contribute to these goals. By hosting this center, Saudi Arabia positions itself as a hub for space innovation and collaboration. It complements the work of the existing Center for the Fourth Industrial Revolution in Saudi Arabia, expanding its scope and impact.
What are some of the specific topics and challenges the Center for Space Futures will likely address?
The center will tackle a range of important issues. This includes advancing space technological innovation to push the boundaries of what's possible. They'll also work on developing robust policies and regulations to govern space activities. Another key area of focus will be sustainability, ensuring that the growth of the space economy happens in an environmentally responsible manner. By convening diverse stakeholders around these topics, the center can help drive progress and align efforts on a global scale.
The Center for Space Futures is set to open in autumn of 2024. As we await further developments, it's clear that this collaboration between the World Economic Forum and the Saudi Space Agency represents an important step forward for the global space community. The work happening here could have far-reaching impacts on our future in space and the benefits it brings to life on Earth. Speaking of space advancements, China has announced that its most powerful space engine configuration is now ready for flight after passing a critical ignition test. The four YF-100K engines delivered over 500 tons of thrust in the test, fully verifying their compatibility and reliability, according to the engine's chief designer. For more on this development, we turn to our correspondent at the Simply Space news desk. Can you tell us more about the significance of this engine test? This successful ignition test of four YF-100K engines running in parallel represents a major milestone for China's space ambitions. Generating over 500 tons of combined thrust, this engine cluster could potentially power the first stage of China's next-generation Long March rockets, including the Long March 12 medium-lift vehicle slated for a debut flight later this year, as well as the Long March 10 super-heavy lifter being developed to send Chinese astronauts to the moon before 2030.
500 tons of thrust is an enormous amount of power. How does the design of these YF-100K engines enable them to achieve that level of performance?
The YF-100K represents the latest evolution of China's workhorse YF-100 Kerelox engine that powers the boosters of the country's current heavy-lift Long March 5 rocket. A key innovation in the YF-100K is the use of a more compact pump-back swing turbopump design, which reduces the size and mass of the engine compared to the traditional front-mounted turbopumps used on previous YF-100 variants. This allows the 130-ton thrust YF-100K engines to be densely clustered. Four can fit within the 3.8-meter diameter of the Long March 12 first stage, while seven could be accommodated in a 5-meter diameter Long March 10 core stage.
What are the upcoming missions that could be powered by this groundbreaking engine configuration?
According to reports, a cluster of four YF-100K engines is expected to power the first stage of the Long March 12 rocket, a new medium-class launch vehicle optimized for sun-synchronous orbits that could make its maiden flight from China's coastal Wenchang spacecraft launch site later this year. Looking further ahead, the Long March 10 moon rocket projected to fly in 2027 could use seven YF-100K engines, each in its first stage core and twin strap-on boosters, unleashing an enormous 2,600 tons of thrust to send 27-ton payloads on trajectories to the moon. With the YF-100K now deemed flight-ready, these ambitious vehicles are one step closer to the launch pad.
The YF-100K engine reaching flight status marks a significant leap for China's spaceflight capabilities and lunar exploration plans. We'll be tracking the development of the Long March vehicles it will power closely in the coming months and years. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Space. We'll see you back here tomorrow.